Thank you for that special. I want to tell you, if we could pray those words from our heart sincerely, change a lot of lives. The Lord's will to be done. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We started several weeks ago a new study, When You Can't Just Get Over It, and just dealing with the realities, the problems of life. And obviously there's a lot of stresses and difficulties that happen in the real world. Just because you get saved and try to live for Jesus doesn't mean that life's going to get easy. There are some guys out there preaching that, but it's simply not true biblically. And a lot of people get disillusioned. You listen to those guys that tell you if you just, get saved, say this prayer, then everything will go great in your life. And it just doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, the greatest people in Scriptures suffered the most. We look at the great Apostle Paul and all that he suffered. And of course, our Savior Jesus Christ, if he had to suffer, then how much more will we have to suffer? And our suffering will never compare to his. But we talked a few weeks ago about dealing with injustice and how that things don't always go right. People are going to do you wrong. That's the way it is in the world, and how we ought to deal with that. We've talked a little bit about overcoming insecurity and how sometimes it feels like the harder you try, the worse things get. And sometimes you're worried about what everybody else thinks and all of those things. We talked about how to deal with that. And if you missed out on those and you want to check them out, you can go to calvarymuldrow.com and you can listen to previous messages there. 1 Kings chapter 19. Tonight we're going to talk about defeating discouragement. Do any of you ever get discouraged? Can I see your hands if you ever get discouraged? All right. Discouragement is one of the most potent weapons the devil has and can use in our lives. And it's really important that we recognize those times when we're most susceptible to discouragement and then what to do when we are discouraged. And so that's what I'd like to speak to you about tonight. If you're able, let's stand together to honor God's word. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 4. Just real quick, how many of you are familiar with the account in Scripture where Elijah faces off with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? How many of you are somewhat familiar with that? All right? So most of you are. So the prophets of Baal, the worshipers of the false gods, there's 850 prophets up there against the prophet of God, Elijah. They face off on Mount Carmel, and they have a test to see who God is. Who's got the real God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of Baal? And so they face off. So the Baal worshipers set up their altar, and they cry from morning till evening. They cry out to Baal and cut themselves and go through all this stuff that he would send down fire to consume their sacrifice. Nothing happens. And so then the time comes. They pour water all over the sacrifice that's set up for Jehovah, God of the Bible. And they pour water all over it and all those things. And the Bible just says when Elijah prayed that God would send down fire, immediately fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the water, and even the stones that the altar was made of. And the people that were there fell on their faces and said, God, he is the Lord. And God, he is the Lord. And so this comes on the tail end of that. Elijah has a great victory, literally, on a mountaintop. He literally has a mountaintop experience. But I want you to look at what happens in 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne tonight, I pray for those that are discouraged tonight, that you would lift up their hearts, that your Spirit would come and give them comfort. Father, I pray for those who are experiencing great victory now, because I know discouragement can soon come following victory. Lord, I pray wherever we're at in our lives tonight, in our walk with you, that you would help us to learn things that will help us to be ready for discouragement and to overcome it, to defeat it biblically when it does come. And Father, I pray above all things that you will get glory. And Father, I pray that if there is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl in this building tonight who's never been born again, that your Holy Spirit will convict their hearts, that tonight they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Tonight they would trust with all their heart in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, and that they would call on your name and be born again. Please help me now as I try to rightly divide your word of truth and let it speak to our hearts and change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Defeating discouragement. So the account of Elijah and the prophets of Baal here in 1 Kings is one of the most dramatic accounts in all of Scripture. This confrontation was incredible, and you can read more about it later in 1 Kings 18. But after that victory, when the news of what happens there gets back to Queen Jezebel, the most wicked queen that ever lived, she was furious and she wanted to kill Elijah. And so when he finds out about the queen's plan, he had just faced down 850 prophets of Baal, 850-1. As a matter of fact, when he wins the victory, they take a sword and they cut down, they killed every one of those prophets. Shunk, shunk, 850 times, they killed them all. But when he finds out that this woman is ready to kill him, he runs away. Isn't that something? That's something. You know, a lot of men have been in the armed forces and can go and face all kinds of enemies, but it's just different sometimes when they face just one woman. So he literally is on a victory on a mountaintop, but when this discouragement comes, he runs away. Not only does he go to the south, he's a prophet to the northern kingdom. He goes down south, he runs away to Judah, but then he leaves his servant there in Judah, and he goes even farther away out into the wilderness alone, and he just hopes to die. Discouragement is not hard to find. Some people are discouraged because their children are battling serious illnesses, or they're themselves battling serious illnesses. Maybe somebody that you've been trying to help in the church to be discipled is started out well, but now they've fallen away. They've backslidden. Maybe you've run out of money before the bills were paid this month again. Maybe somebody you looked up to has turned away from God. Maybe you've had somebody close to you betray you. I mean, the sources of discouragement are plentiful. And maybe you're going through some discouragement today. The word discourage means to take away or lose courage. To take away or lose courage. To be discouraged means that we face life with fear instead of faith. With worry instead of wonder. With cowardice instead of courage. And when we look at Elijah's story, it's crazy to see that discouragement can just seem to come out of nowhere. And when discouragement comes, it can come out of nowhere, but then it can completely overwhelm us to where we feel like we can't do anything. So first of all, tonight, let's talk about a little bit about where discouragement comes from. This recipe of discouragement. Getting the ingredients that generally come about and bring about discouragement can help us understand how we can have victory over it. So literally, he had discouragement after a great victory. 3.5 years before Mount Carmel, Elijah told King Ahab the Lord was going to send a drought to punish King Ahab for his idolatry. Ahab blamed Elijah and threatened to kill him, but the Lord sent him by the brook Cherith, and he fed him by a raven there. When the brook dried up because of the drought, he sent him to another place, to the widow and her son in Jezebel's home country, and he miraculously provided for him there. You remember how the oil and the meal never ran out, and God provided all the way through that, and so He was able to stand up against the king and speak the truth. He was able to survive through this great drought that God provided for him. And so he's seen victory after victory after victory. And when the time came, God sends him back in chapter 18 and verse 1, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And the Lord is going to set all of these things up to take care of everything. Now, most good things in our lives don't come easily or quickly. Most good things in our lives take long-term effort, working, Listen, a good marriage doesn't happen without effort. You have to work to have a good marriage. If some of you teach Sunday school classes here at the church, a Sunday school class is not going to be built up spiritually or numerically without hard work. You've got to work at it. Relationships and problems in relationships don't get resolved without hard work and effort and time. Raising children for the Lord takes time and effort. You can't be lazy and be a good parent. Can't. And so a lot of times when we've got this long processes, we're just not geared for that in our society today. And a lot of times our patience wears thin. When we don't see immediate results, we think that we've wasted our time. Because we're a drive-through society, right? We're a disposable society. We just want it now. We want it how we want it. And we want it within 30 seconds or less. Now, when we start to get discouraged, when we start to think that maybe it's not worth the effort, the devil will be right there to whisper in your ear, why don't you just give up? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Nobody cares. You're the only one doing anything anyway. Why would you waste your time? And he'll be right there to discourage you. Elijah's example warns us, though, that we're even more vulnerable to discouragement when a long struggle comes along. This was a process of 3.5 years. This didn't just happen all at once at Mount Carmel. This process had been going on. This struggle between Elijah and Ahab and Jezebel had gone on for a long time. But God gets the victory when he sends the fire down. And in 1 Kings 18:39, the Bible says, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. In other words, there wasn't any question anymore. Jehovah, he is God. And that's who we're going to worship. What a victory. So why didn't it keep him going? Why did he face defeat after a mountaintop victory? Well, a lot of times when we have fought a long fight, we've put a lot of effort and a lot of work into something, and you have this emotional victory, this emotional high, there's naturally a letdown that comes after that. Right? We see guys that work really hard. How many of you guys like to watch sports? Anybody sports fans here? Okay, well, there's either 4 sports fans or you're all a bunch of liars. It's too much effort to raise your hand. So I know most of you like to watch at least some sports. I really like to watch football, and those guys get out there. And I want to tell you, it's an amazing thing to see because they work. Even right now, they're starting to work out. They're starting to get ready for those games. And they'll put in all that hard work. And when they get in a really hard game and they have to work really, really hard, they've got all this energy. And when they get the victory, there's this elation that comes and this victory and this high, this natural high that comes. And that's all good for a while. But I promise you, it won't be long until that's gone and there'll be the crash. It'll be the crash. It's just natural. It doesn't matter whether it's something like athletics or anything that you do like that. Here at church, like Vacation Bible School. How many of you have worked and helped with Vacation Bible School? How many of you have been dead tired for 3 weeks after Vacation Bible School? Like, I don't even want to roll over in bed. That's too much work after Bible school's over. I'm going to tell you, that's probably the Sunday after Vacation Bible School is the hardest Sunday of the year to get out of bed. I'm the pastor. I'm just telling you. Man, it's hard. We work hard. We work hard preparing. We work hard reaching our community. We work hard that week. It's long days and late nights, and it's a lot of work, but it's worth it because kids get saved. Amen. And families get reached for the gospel. But there's this natural letdown, and so when that natural letdown comes, you ought to be on the lookout because I'm telling you, you can mark it down. We're going to have Bible school in just a few weeks. You can mark it down. Some of you won't be here Sunday morning for Sunday school after Bible school. Say amen, Bill Don. He'll be here with a box of donuts and a cup of coffee. He'll be ready. But some of you won't. Some of you won't. You'll have experienced this great thing. It's been so good. It's been so wonderful. But then it's so hard to get out of bed on Sunday. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. We have these things where it's really, really good. And then we kind of come down from that. And immediately, the devil's going to come in. It's hard to stay on an emotional high for long. You have this letdown that comes. And we can't prevent that natural downtime, that exhaustion from happening. But what we can do is be aware of it so that we know. Listen, we've had revival weeks before, and some of you, Sunday after revival, it's hard for you to get around. You're like, well, I came to church like five nights in a row, so I've banked up. I can skip a few services, right? I think some of you actually said that to me before. I get bonus credit because I was here every night for revival, so I'm going to skip a few services. No, you need to be aware. You're going to be tired. There's going to be this kind of letdown from it, and you need to be aware of that. It's nothing you can do to change the fact that you get tired and you get exhausted, but you can be aware. I need to be on guard here. I really don't feel like getting up early and reading my Bible. I've got to because I'm tired and I don't feel like it. I need it more than ever. This physical exhaustion, I mean, Elijah was depleted. I promise you, it took a lot of energy for him to stand up there all day and make fun of the prophets of Baal. It's one of my favorite things in Scripture. Cry a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on vacation. If you haven't read it, you got to go home tonight and read 1 Kings 18. It's so fun to read because he's up there all day just mocking them and ridiculing them. And that's why I believe it's biblical to be sarcastic. So all of this goes on. He runs away. He gets down there to Judah, and he goes and leaves his servant Judah. He goes out into the wilderness, and the Bible says that he lays down and goes to sleep. He's exhausted. In verse 5 in chapter 19, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, he was just wore out. He laid down and went to sleep. Some of you have heard of Vince Lombardi. Okay. All the old people and football fans. Okay. I'm not old, I'm a football fan. Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. You want to be discouraged without courage? Be a coward. That comes from being tired. Passionate for the ministry, the great Scottish preacher Robert Murray McShane overworked himself into an early grave. Listen to this. At age 29, he said on his deathbed, God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. Now I've killed the horse and cannot deliver the message. He literally worked himself to exhaustion. If you read reports a long time ago, they would give that as the cause of death. Someone died from exhaustion. And literally, that's what he worked himself. He's 29 years old. He pushed his body to the limit where he literally killed himself for the cause of Christ. Was that good? Some of you are like, well, that's great, man. He spent himself for Christ. But how much better would it be to be a good steward of your health and pace yourself? Listen, the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Rest, exercise, a healthy diet are all tools that God has given us to keep going. Listen, it's wrong to abuse your body for any reason, especially for the excuse of serving God or even for your families. Physical exhaustion leaves us wide open to discouragement and the attacks of the devil. How many of you have ever said something you wish you hadn't when you were really tired? Yep. Some of you have said things to me when you were really tired that I wish you hadn't. Jesus was with his disciples in Mark chapter 6, and he says, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. They had been working and ministering. He says, let's go over here. Let's get away from everybody and rest. It didn't work out. The multitudes came, and they stayed up, and they ministered to them and served them. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus said, you need to get away and rest. You need to get away and rest. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to do that. We've got to give ourselves a time to rest. Jezebel didn't actually do anything to kill Elijah. She just said she was going to. The gods do more to me, the same to me and more also, if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow. Now, maybe it was an empty threat. We don't see anything in Scripture that she actually tried to carry out the threat. She would have certainly been going against popular opinion to try to kill Elijah. He was obviously the most popular prophet that was left on Mount Carmel. If she really wanted to kill him, she probably would have been smarter than to send somebody and say, I'm going to kill you. Right? That's you know, murderer 101. You don't tell them ahead of time. Right, CJ? Okay, good. If you bow to others' intimidation, they'll take everything from you that they can. But what this is like is it's like paying ransom to kidnappers. If you pay ransom to a kidnapper, you've just encouraged them to kidnap more people. And when we give in to the intimidation that the devil wants to send, all we're doing is encouraging him to do that more. If we give in to those threats, if we don't believe the promises of God, if we're not resting and secure in God and his word, then the devil's got us. And he can just keep getting us with that same thing over and over. Times of loneliness open the door to discouragement. How many of you guys remember the TV show Nova? Better remember Nova? Yeah. Yeah, which one of those animals was it that the lions always got? The gazelle. But it was always the gazelle that wasn't with the herd. There was always one dummy that was over by himself. Right? He got away from the herd, and that's the one they get. And that's the way we see it in nature. And listen, it happens spiritually too. If you isolate yourself from the body of Christ, if you isolate yourself from the church, you're setting yourself up for danger. We need this. You know, I get so tired of people telling me they don't need church. Well, you can convince yourself that if you want to, but you're never going to be able to let that stand against Scripture. God's word's clear. We need to assemble together. We need this. And when you get out there in the world away from the church by yourself, you're going to put yourself in danger. And the devil is as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We need the people that love Christ around us and closest to us to encourage and strengthen one another. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes we get discouraged from an inaccurate view of our circumstances. I wonder if you could be honest tonight. Have you ever came into a situation and maybe blown it out of proportion just a little bit? I'll give all you ladies a second to raise your hand. Not that I'm not guilty of it too, but I'm just going to say, honestly, it seems to be something that ladies are really good at, to overreact to situations. Listen, my wife is in the other room. I can say, if I want her to know that I said that, I'll tell her. Okay? Some of you can't wait. I thought we were friends. Sometimes we'll have a situation and my wife is very upset about it and she wants me to at least meet her level of upsetness. And I'm smart, so I say things like, I'm not worried about it. Who are my favorite? What's the big deal? All the guys in here are looking really nervous right now. I'm not worried about that. And she says loving things like, you never worry about anything. Sometimes we look at situations and we get so discouraged, we don't see things the right way. And let me tell you why that happens. Because we look at things through our own eyes instead of looking at things through the lens of Scripture. We have problems with our memory. We have short-term memory loss. Not scared of King Ahab. Not afraid of the 850 prophets of Baal. Enough faith in God to pray, and it stopped raining for 3.5 years, and he would have enough faith to pray, and it would rain when he asked God. A man subject to like passions, just like we are, yet a man of great faith. And so he forgot all of that in the moment, and he was terrified and became discouraged. He isolated himself, and he was exhausted, and he allowed discouragement to come. He was so discouraged that he says there in verse 4, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. His thought was, listen, they killed the other prophets. I'm not any better than them. Might as well just kill me too. Listen, I know some of you have struggled with depression and discouragement and all of those things, but I want you to know something. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. This is nothing. This is, I don't take this wrong. It's not an attack when I say it's nothing new. Listen, there is nothing new under the sun. Discouragement and depression, it's not something that we discovered or just got invented because we have pop psychologists today. It's been going on a long time. And listen, I know that we get discouraged. I know that we even despair of life. But I want you to know there's hope. I want you to know there's hope. There's hope because there's future. When we're discouraged, we tend to focus on what's wrong and not on what's right. And when you start dwelling on what's wrong instead of what's right, the more your problems go. And one of the things that we've got to do to defeat discouragement, you need to get this tonight, is develop a biblical pattern of thinking. I want you to look with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Because Christians who aren't meditating on what's true, listen, the devil, when he finds a Christian that's not meditating on what's true, he's found an easy mark. He's going to get after you. So there's a lot of negativity in the world. There's a lot of negativity in our own minds, in our society, our culture around us. And it's easy to think on those things, right? Okay. How many of you still watch the news? How many of you still read the news? Okay. I don't watch the news. I get my news on my phone because I don't know. I don't have the patience to watch those people on TV. And I know they're just trying to drag me on. And you know, they keep teasing me with the weather. They know I'm just there for the weather. Amen. They keep teasing me with the weather. I think they're going to show it, and they just keep putting it off. I don't like that. So I just look on my phone. Right? But when I read the news, it's incredibly depressing. Amen. It's incredibly discouraging. And it's easy to get focused on those things. We can't ignore them. We can't put our head in the sand and pretend like they're not there. But we can do this. We can focus on the things. We can focus on the things. We can give those negative things, the wrong things. We can give those to God. And we can focus on the truth. Amen. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you find things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous? Any idea? Well, maybe we can find those in our Bible. Okay. I thought maybe. We could find those on Facebook. And some of you put Bible verses on there. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Maybe you thought you could find them on your favorite TV program. Maybe you thought you could find those things on the radio. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find those things in the Word of God. Amen. And I want you to notice that he says, think on these things. We need to meditate on them. And we need to read our Bible in the morning. We need to keep thinking on those things throughout the day. We've got to learn to meditate on what is true and good. Listen to me. Meditate on what is true and good, not on what you feel or think. I want you to learn something with me tonight that I'm trying to teach my children, especially my teenage daughter. Feelings are liars. Would you say that with me? Feelings are liars. You guys know that's true? Have you learned that yet? I want to give you something else. We want to focus on what's true and good, not on what we feel or think. Because sometimes you feel something, and you may be right, but most of the time you're not right. And did you know that sometimes what you think is not right? Brother Bill Don thought he was wrong once. He's like, why do you always pick on me? I'd pick on Wayne, but he's too big. We are wrong. Our thoughts are wrong. But God's word is always right. So what do? When we're discouraged, let me throw some things at you real quickly. Why was Elijah discouraged? Was it Jezebel? Was it Jezebel's fault? Was it her threat? Is that why he was discouraged? Or was it because Elijah allowed Jezebel's intimidation to discourage him? Listen, there's always going to be Jezebels. When you have courage, there's still Jezebels. The devil didn't go anywhere. Then there are times that you have great courage and great faith in God and great momentum to keep moving forward for the kingdom of God and Christ. So it's not the Jezebels. It's not the devil. It's not the world. They don't go away. When you're on the mountaintop, they haven't gone anywhere. You've just trusted God to give the victory. And when you get discouraged, it's not them. It's because you've allowed those things to discourage you. We've got to learn to not allow our circumstances to discourage us, but that's easier said than done. So what do we need to do? Number one, we've got to remain faithful. The Lord fed Elijah twice, and then he said, I want you to go send him 40 days on that one meal to Mount Horeb. And when he gets to Mount Horeb, the Lord says, what are you doing here? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? The Lord was reminding Elijah that he wasn't in the place he was supposed to be. We've got to stay in our place. We've got to stay faithful where God wants us to be. When you are not in the place God wants you to be, you're setting yourself up for failure. When the time for the kings was to go forth to war, David stayed home. He stayed behind. That's why he got in trouble with Bathsheba. Elijah went the wrong way. He went where he wasn't supposed to be. Now, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in those good works. We're created to glorify God with our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll be like Elijah. We'll divert from God's plan, and we stop fulfilling God's purpose for our life. We're going to get discouraged. If you're not in the place God wants you to be, fulfilling the purpose God wants you to fulfill, you will get discouraged. Discouraged people are almost always out of position. They have pity parties instead of praise. They have worry instead of work. They have fear instead of faith. And I just want to tell you tonight, friends, you can have faith. God can use you in a great work in his church. And we have much reason to praise. Recognize God's presence. Elijah gets to Mount Horeb. A huge whirlwind comes, and the Bible says that it rends the rocks. It literally tears the rocks from the mountains. But God wasn't in the whirlwind. An earthquake tears the mountains themselves in two, and God wasn't in the earthquake. A great fire raged in front of Elijah, but God wasn't in the fire. But then, a still, small voice. Elijah had to learn that even if there were no visible manifestations of God's presence, he was still there. A lot of people are looking for a sign, something huge. I mean, they want a comet streaking through the sky. They want an earthquake. They want, you know, a whirlwind. They want a tornado that doesn't kill them, but they get to see it. I mean, they want something huge. And all the while, he's waiting, ready to speak to you if you just open this book. I've seen God do big things. I've seen God do amazing things, impossible things. But I want to tell you, those times when I've been closest to the Lord and his presence was the most real in my heart was just quiet time, me alone with God. That's where he's at. And he wants to meet you there every day. Stay faithful. Remember God's presence. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can have victory today over discouragement. Satan's a liar. One of the biggest things that Elijah dealt with was he thought he was the last one. You ever feel like that? You're in church with 120 people and you feel like you're the only one that cares. I'm sure that's true. Probably are. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody loves Jesus like you do. I mean, it's just you. You're alone. But we feel like that sometimes. Nobody cares. We're wrong. Just like Elijah was wrong. He said, I'm the only one left. There's not another one in all of Israel. And God says, no, I got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. You're not one. You're not alone. There were 7,000 others. Edmund Burke said, never despair. But if you do, go on in your despair. I like that. Don't quit. Since we're talking about football coaches, Bear Bryant told a reporter one time, I'd croak in a month if I quit coaching. He announced his retirement at the end of the 1982 football season. He coached his team in the Liberty Bowl on December the 29th, 1982. And on January 26th, 1983, he died less than a month after his last football game. He lost his purpose. He lost his purpose. We have a great purpose, friends. God wants to use us to do great things. Elijah did finally break through his discouragement. He chose to be encouraged in the Lord. And I just want to remind you of something real quickly. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had gone off to war with his mighty men of battle, and they ended up not even being able to go to the war. They had to go back. And when they were on their way back, they saw the smoke of the city ascending up, and they rush in and find out that everything's gone. Their wives and their children and all their stuff's been taken away. And the people were so discouraged. The mighty men of valor that loved David more than anything else were ready to stone him to death. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He didn't encourage himself, didn't build something in him. He just got on his face and encouraged himself in God. God, you can do this. He prayed and asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord said, go get him. And he went and got him. They overtook him. They slew him, except for a handful. They ran away on camels. And they got everyone and everything back. Everything that was taken away. And he had victory that day, friends, because he encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen, too many times when we get discouraged, we just kind of want to psych ourselves up. You know, we want to give ourselves a pep talk in the mirror. We're going to kind of build something up. Don't do that. That's not the answer. Your discouragement is not going to be overcome by encouraging yourself in yourself. Your discouragement is going to be overcome by encouraging yourself in the Lord. God gave David all the stuff and all the people back. God did that. God's the one who sent down the fire and defeated the prophets of Baal. God did that. God's the one who preserved him. And Elijah went on, and God led him to choose a successor, Elisha. And Elijah, after this great victory and then this discouragement and this despair, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. He was taken up to heaven by the Lord. What a great thing that God has done. We can have victory. We can have victory. Let's stand together.
Somebody here tonight that's really discouraged because you have no hope for eternity. You don't know 100% for sure that if you pass from this life that you go to heaven. I want you to know tonight you can know for sure. You can know for sure. And who wouldn't want to know for sure they're going to heaven? God loves you so much that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. And if you turn from your sin to God and trust in Him with all your heart, He'll give you everlasting life. He's convicting your heart tonight, or maybe there's a burden, you are discouraged, you need to bring it to the Lord. Whatever decision that Jesus is calling you to make tonight, you come right now while we sing.
page 514.
514.